FNC's Carlson, Antifa is the armed instrument of the permanent Democratic establishment in Washington. By Jeff Poor on January 24, 2023. During his opening monologue on Monday, FNC host Tucker Carlson weighed in on the reemergence of Antifa, who he deemed to be an armed instrument of Washington, D.C., Democrats. Antifa's apparent presence in Atlanta's violent unrest has raised questions as to how the group should be dealt with. Transcript as follows. Carlson, whatever happened to Antifa? Ever wonder that? The shadowy, heavily armed left-wing militia group, the guys dressed like stormtroopers and black masks? You remember them, of course. Well, from the summer of 2020, they burned our cities that year. Churches and police stations and courthouses. Now, the point of the violence they committed, the extensive violence and the killings they committed, was to defeat Donald Trump, make the country so chaotic that voters would want a change, and they were effective in doing that. So effective that Kamala Harris herself raised money to bail them out of jail. In the end, Antifa played a pivotal role in our presidential election that year, more so than any other organized bloc of voters. Then, the moment Joe Biden was inaugurated, Antifa seemed to disappear. Nobody asked any questions about where they went, much less about who they were or who was paying them. They'd served their purpose, and then they left. So in retrospect, it's very clear who Antifa was and is. Antifa is the armed instrument of the permanent Democratic establishment in Washington. Their job is to mobilize when politically necessary. Now, this is a new thing in the United States. But political militia are a common feature in third world politics. They were a staple in Haiti. In our country, however, only one party has them, the Democratic Party. They're the only ones with armed militia in the street. So with that in mind, it's interesting to note that Antifa is back in force, and that's probably not a very good sign for Joe Biden. If nothing else, Antifa has a solid track record of getting rid of sitting presidents. Here's a report from Fox 5 in Atlanta over the weekend. Begin video clip. Fox 5 reporter, police arrested six people in the violent protest that left several buildings damaged and a police car destroyed after it was set on fire. Crowd protesting. Unidentified female, I can't breathe. Fox 5 reporter, downtown Atlanta erupted into a scene of chaos Saturday night as a protest took a violent turn. At least three buildings were damaged when rioters threw bricks and rocks, shattering windows. At least two police cars were targeted. One even lit on fire. Atlanta police say within two blocks of the protesters starting their destruction, they dispersed the crowd. Six people were arrested. All of them are facing eight charges, including domestic terrorism and arson. Only one is a Georgia resident. End video clip. Carlson, unleash the wackos. Somebody has unleashed the wackos. There's always a pretext for this. There's always a story. They tell you to pretend it's spontaneous. It just happened. They just got so mad that they flew in from all over the country to stage a riot. Now, the story behind this riot, the one you're seeing on TV, is that a guy called Torchigita, apparently an Antifa environmentalist, a person who uses they/it as pronouns, decided to shoot a state trooper in Georgia, and then the cops shot back and killed it in response. So that's the story they're telling to explain the riots. It doesn't make a lot of sense, actually. But everyone in the media is running with this, CNN included, and especially CNN, in fact, turned to a freelance reporter called David Peisner to explain exactly what happened this weekend in Atlanta. Watch this. Begin video clip. David Peisner, freelance reporter, there's a real blurring of the lines in the use of the word violence. Is property destruction violence? To some people, it certainly is. But, you know, this idea that breaking windows or other acts of property destruction are the same as actual violence against humans is kind of a dangerous and slippery concept. You keep using these words violent, 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 and it gives the impression the only violence or the only acts of violence against people that I saw were actually police tackling protesters. End video clip. Carlson. Why does every neoliberal talk like a sociology professor at a community college? You ever notice that? So that's David Peisner, identified by CNN as a freelance journalist, explaining that actually it's not really violence because it's against property. So when they burn your house down, it's not violence. It's not violence. It's always the same script. Remember when Ali Velshi stood in front of a burning police station in Minneapolis and told you the protests were, not generally speaking, unruly except for, of course, the torched police station right behind us? Or when CNN told us the riots in Kenosha were fiery but mostly peaceful. Meanwhile, people were being killed. They're still saying it, but this time they're even lazier and more corrupt. That freelance reporter, David Pizner, you just saw on CNN is not actually a reporter. He's a professional Antifa apologist. He is a fellow traveler for Antifa, and we're not just guessing at that. This week, he went on Twitter to raise money for Antifa, including a GoFundMe for Tor Chiquita, the attempted cop killer with the confusing pronouns. That's the guy CNN is calling a reporter, a freelance reporter. So the question is not, is CNN dishonest? Oh, they'll say anything. The question is, why this particular brand of dishonesty? Why the same people who warn you about right-wing extremists walking around the Capitol, running cover for domestic terrorism in the city they're based in? Keep in mind, this is CNN saying this, and it was CNN whose headquarters, its world headquarters, CNN Center in Atlanta, was destroyed by Antifa in May of 2020 after St. George Floyd died. Remember that? In case you don't, here is the tape. Video clip plays. Carlson, so that day in May of 2020, Antifa actually got inside CNN Center. They smashed through the windows and went right in. So if you're CNN, you'd say, well, look, we're going to have to put Antifa on the do not promote list. We just can't run cover for the people who smash the windows of our world headquarters. But they are. They're doing it anyway. Why are they doing that? Because CNN is not actually on the left. They have no ideology or beliefs. CNN is above all and always four square on the side of the people in charge. Always. That's who they run cover for. So they're not actually defending Antifa. They are defending the people who benefit from Antifa, and that's the Democratic Party. And in case you doubt the connection, consider Representative Catherine Clark of Massachusetts, she/her. Catherine Clark is one of the senior Democrats in the House of Representatives. In fact, she's the minority whip. She is the one who is so worried about climate change. Remember, she told you that her kids were having nightmares about it? Didn't stop her from buying a $1 million oceanfront home, but whatever. So Catherine Clark's own son, Jared Dowell, was riding along with Antifa in Boston on Saturday night. He was vandalizing a monument on Boston Common when police tried to arrest him. Jared Dowell and other protesters then assaulted the police, causing the specific officer to bleed from the nose and mouth. Oh, that was her son. So Catherine Clark was forced to issue a statement about this, of course. By the way, stop talking about her personal life. If you knew what the personal lives of the people who run the Democratic Party are actually like, you would understand their politics much better. So Catherine Clark issued a statement and refers to her son as her daughter, huh? Of course, and wrote that this is a very difficult time in the cycle of joy and pain in parenting. It's just, you know, part of the cycle where your adult son pretends to be a woman and attacks police officers. It's totally normal. It's just part of the cycle of parenting. Yes. Again, if you knew the details of their personal lives, you would understand their politics. This is the party of weak men and unhappy women. But what you have in effect here is the official endorsement of domestic terrorism from the highest level of the Democratic Party. And why wouldn't you? Again, this is their militia. These are their state-sanctioned shock troops, and they are effectively immune from criticism. So you go to jail for owning a 10-round magazine, but they get to do whatever they want. Merrick Garland and Christopher Wray, who runs the FBI, are making certain that every last January 6th defendant spends years in jail. Their lives are destroyed, on the no-fly list, and yet Antifa terrorists get released almost as soon as they're arrested. This week in Atlanta, the police arrested the 22-year-old son of a surgeon in Kennebunkport, Maine, called Francis Carroll. Now, in case you're wondering who these people are, well, they come from the key Democratic demographic, which, of course, is not people of color, working people. That's nonsense. The key Democratic demographic is upscale professionals and their lunatic children. So this kid grew up in a $2 million mansion, pictures of him on his father's yacht. He was arrested on domestic terrorism charges a month ago in Atlanta. He assaulted police officers and terrorized residents. Is he still there? No. He got out of jail immediately. So then apparently he went again to an Antifa riot. This weekend in Atlanta, police say Carroll went out and committed some more domestic terrorism, including arson. So why does this kid, the rich kid, get off when the people who showed up at the Capitol, consistent with their constitutional rights, to complain about what really did seem like fraud in the 2020 election, they went to jail? Well, have you ever checked the percentage of January 6th defendants who've experienced a personal bankruptcy? Much higher than average. These were actual working-class people, deeply frustrated, completely out of options and unheard by everyone in Washington. It's not an excuse for the vandalism some of them committed. But it tells you it's a very different group of people. They didn't go to Middlebury or some other liberal arts madrasa. They're actual working people. But they're in jail and the rich kids are out. Is anyone going to ask Merrick Garland to explain that? Is anyone going to ask what Antifa is? Who leads this group? How many more riots do they have to lead before the New York Times gets interested and does a 5-part series on what is this? Who are these people? Who pays for this? Where do they stay at night? What's their background? Give us some news on Antifa. They're the biggest armed militia in the United States, and we know nothing about them. Why? Because they're aligned with the Democratic Party. But they're telling you the real threat is rural voters with R-15s, assault weapons. You must disarm Republican voters. No, thanks. Disarm? Why don't you go ahead and disband Antifa? Go full RICO on them. Let's find out who their leaders are. Let's see them in jail. Then maybe you can tackle street crime and then pay a little bit of attention to the drug cartels that control the southwestern United States. And then maybe at that point, you will convince some people to register their R-15s, but until you do that, up yours. Follow Jeff Poor on Twitter at Jeff_Poor.